Did you know that Otto turned around just in time for the broadcast? His tush was on this side, and then he heard me say, oh, no, and turned around. It's hard to overstate Otto's intelligence. I take that back. It's actually not hard to overstate Otto's intelligence, but that's not why I love him. You don't love your dog or cat for their brilliance, for their intelligence. By the way, some dogs are more intelligent than others, obviously, but that's not what renders them lovable. Truth is, I don't even think brains are the most lovable part of a person. Character is goodness. Anyway, hi, Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat. Hey, this is Otto. And everybody says hello. People stop me at the airport. Sometimes people stop me and just say, say hi to Otto. So I go, what am I, chopped liver? That's a joke. I get a big kick out of that, to be honest. If people go, did you ever hear that phrase? What am I, chopped liver? That's a New York phrase. But have you heard it?
Yes, I have.
And you're a California girl.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking to, everybody? Do you know who Megan is? We ought to introduce the staff behind here. You should meet Nathan. Very sexy guy, Nathan. I was telling him that right beforehand. I'm not joking. I mean, this guy's a guy's guy. Well, no, that's the wrong way of putting it. I take that back. He's a, oh, well, it is live. I mean, it is recorded. It is spontaneous. But, you know, let me explain that. A guy's guy is a compliment to guys. I'm not kidding. You know how many guys say to me, seriously, on the radio, I love you, Dennis? And women say it too, but I'm actually more moved when men say it because it's very much rarer for a guy to say that to a guy than for a woman to say it to a guy or a woman to say it to a woman. Anyway, just some thoughts on life to open up our Fireside Chat. This is a weekly spontaneous thought production. I like that. It is. It's thought production right before thine ears and eyes. I want to talk to you today about, well, they're always a big deal. This is a big deal by definition. When I was in college, I came up with this realization. I had attended through high school, through the age of 18, I had attended a very serious Jewish education, religious education. How serious? It was at what's called a yeshiva. You can look up the word, you'll see. It's a traditional Orthodox Jewish education. Half the day was in Hebrew. Half the day was in English. That's one of the reasons my Hebrew was so good, because I was immersed in it from a very early age. And one of the reasons I could write my Bible commentary, because of my knowledge of Hebrew. And I got a really good religious education, which has shaped my life. So here's an example of something I came up with in college, looking around at my fellow students, who, by the way, were demonstrating and sometimes rioting then. That was about the Vietnam War. This was the 70s. This was graduate school, actually, that I came up with, not in college. And I thought, what is the big difference between them and me? And I realized there were a number of things, but this is the one that really hit me. And it was one of the great realizations of my life. If you have a traditional Jewish or Christian education, you have a different perception of the world than a regular. You want to? We'll take care of that. Just turn the volume down. Nathan forgot. I want you all to know that that is completely Nathan's fault. I had nothing to do with that noise. So, it's painful for me to say after I compliment him on his looks, but he relies on his looks, so he gets very far in life. All right, that you could keep that in or not. That is completely your. Your determination. I am not voting to keep in or to excise. So there are a lot of differences between a religious worldview and a secular worldview. I say that knowing that there are many secular people who are not only my friends, but who are my allies in the struggle for liberty and the struggle for America. But there was this huge difference, and it's playing out to this day. I and all of my other students, my fellow students, as I think in traditional Christian education, the same thing. I learned that the biggest struggle in my life was with, are you ready? Me. In secular schools, you learn that the biggest struggle in your life is with society. In America, with America. That shapes your emotional life, that shapes your philosophical life, and your moral life. The biggest problem in Dennis Prager's life, I learned at a very early age, was Dennis Prager. I have to fight my nature. You have to fight your nature. There was an old saying, I don't know, from the 70s or 80s, I'm okay, you're okay. It was a very famous, popular book, but it's not true. That was a classic rejection of Judeo-Christian principles. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. That's the Judeo-Christian view. We can work and strive to be okay, but that's a lifelong struggle. I have to work against me, my nature, because I, like every one of you, have human nature. Human nature can be directed into beautiful channels, but it has to be directed. You know, I think about this all the time when I see blaming America. Oh, I'm wonderful. That's the implication, right? I'm fine. I'm a good human being. I'm wonderful. My problems emanate from America. No, they don't. Your problems emanate from human nature, which you are the possessor of, especially in America. That's why people don't like free societies. People who hate free societies, like people who hate America, they hate the fact that their life isn't working out right. And so in a free society, you have to confront you if life doesn't work out. So they don't like that. Free society puts the onus on you. Can't blame society. Society has let you screw up because it's a free society. I thought about this again just today in speaking to my son and his son. So my little grandson, who's he's 4 or 5. I know I should know, but he's 4 or 5. Let's say he's 4 and a half. Let's make a compromise age. And he came, it was a Zoom call with my son. And then he came onto his daddy's lap and he said, tell Poppy, that's me, tell Poppy how many brains do you have? And he said, I have 2 brains, which I'd never heard. It was an interesting way of putting it. And he goes, and then my son says to him, and what are they? I have a good brain and a bad brain, which is the way my son explained a very, very basic Jewish concept to my grandson. And that is Jews who take Judaism seriously, which is a very small minority of Jews. But we are taught from a very early age, you have 2 urges or wills or creative instincts. I'm translating from the Hebrew word yetzer, which has all those meanings. You have a yetzer tov and a yetzer ra, a good urge and a bad urge. And we're taught from my grandson's age, 4 years old, we were taught they're in battle with each other. If you see my video, for goodness sake, which is free, you should watch it on the internet. It's awesome. It's made with some of the biggest people in Hollywood. And in it, there is a scene with Jason Alexander acting the role. He was given an expensive item, the wrong box in an electronics store. He was given a better item than he paid for. And he looks at it and, whoa, nobody will know the difference. They made a mistake and I got the better item. And then we have two voices talking to him. One saying, all right, this is a great deal. Leave, man. Take it out with you now before they realize what they did. And another voice saying to him, in both voices inside of him, the other voice saying, that's stealing, man. You didn't pay for it. That's a perfect example. We have two voices in us all the time. Bad people, psychopaths don't even have the good voice. But the non-psychopath who does bad suppresses the good voice. Or even worse, does bad thinking it's a good voice, which we have a great deal of. A lot of evil is done by people with good intentions. So that's what my 4.5-year-old grandson was taught. And so I thought, isn't that beautiful? At such a young age, he knows he has to battle with himself. That's what everybody needs to be taught. All of these people rioting about America, how bad America is, black or white, systemic racism and all that, they blame their problems or the problems of others on America. But America is not the problem. They are. And that's the difference between wisdom and non-wisdom, between Judeo-Christian values and secular values. It's very tempting to blame outside forces for your problems. Problems are part of life. It is very hard to conquer yourself. That's rough. If it were easy, everybody would be able to do it. I mean, think of just the appetites, human appetites and desires, how difficult they are to conquer. Say no to yourself? That's rough. So the temptation to blame not just America, the temptation to blame your parents. Every parent makes mistakes. There's a real good reason for that. Are you ready? Every parent is human. That's why. It's like, that's the way it goes. Every parent makes mistakes because A, we don't come out of the womb with an instruction manual. This is how you will raise me perfectly. First of all, everybody's different. Not everybody could be raised the same way. Secondly, where is their experience? It's like being told to make a rocket ship and never having studied physics or engineering. That's how hard it is to raise a good person. The raw material is rough. People think, because we live in the age of stupidity, because that's what the end of Judeo-Christian wisdom is ushered in, stupidity, parents, the vast majority, or a great majority, if not a vast, a majority, have thought that all you need to give your kid is love. That the mistake is awesome. This was known to generations before this. Your kids need a lot more than love. They need guidance. They need discipline. They need, John Roseman, who's a child psychologist. And he has a video for us on this very subject for PragerU. You should watch it. Vitamin N. The most important vitamin you can give your child is vitamin N. What is vitamin N? The word no. That's a real good one. You know how to say no to yourself, you will lead a good life. There you are, in a nutshell. Learn to say no to yourself. Whether it's sugar or sex, not all sugar and not all sex. Okay, just want to make that clear. But you can't have all the sugar you want, and you probably can't have all the sex you want. And you name any other, you can't have all the items you want. You probably don't have enough money to get everything you want. So will you cheat to get more money? Will you say no to yourself? These are rioters against America, and I'm not talking just the a lot of the protesters, too. The protesters are not doing anything illegal, clearly, whereas the rioters are. But nevertheless, this whole notion America is this flawed creature, it isn't. It has flaws. Listen, if your parents, that's just two people, if they have flaws, your society will certainly have flaws. It's composed, in America's case, of 340 million people. How are you going to have a perfect society with 340 million imperfect people? But that's why you have to compare America to other places. That's one of the reasons, as I said, people are not crazy about freedom. Under freedom, if you lead a really troubled life, if you're troubled, it could well be you and the choices you've made. So that's it. You are the biggest problem in your life, not this society. In a truly evil society, a communist or Nazi society, then society may well be a bigger problem than even your nature. That's true. But America is neither communist nor Nazi, though I will admit it's heading toward communist. I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's true. Okay, go to your questions. Teach your kids to battle themselves. You'll be doing them a lifelong favor. All right, the video question of the week.
Hello, Dennis and Otto.
And Otto. I didn't want that to go unremarked. Otto. Otto, they're really thinking about you. He's the man. All right, let's go ahead.
Hello, Dennis and Otto. My name is Jacqueline Fake. I am a 15-year-old Prager Force member from Palm Beach, Florida. And recently, I've noticed a lot of my friends falling for the false narrative being pushed by the Black Lives Matter movement. And I just wanted to get your opinion on how conservatives can take a stand on this issue without coming across as divisive. And when we do get the opportunity to have conversations with people who may not fully understand what BLM stands for, how we can get them to see what the organization truly pushes and the negative effects that that could have on society. Thank you.
All right. I'll tell you, we have these impressive people in Prager Force. She's 15. Nice to see you and hear from you. It was interesting that she asked without being divisive. This is part of the many lies that are being told today, including America's racist and all of that. The lie that the president said there were good Nazis. We have a great video on that. It's gone viral. The Charlottesville lie. You should watch it a few times to see how terrible that lie is. And it's permeated. This notion that you call America racist and you divide America between black and white and we're divisive. It's Orwellian. We're not divisive. We are the conservatives are the inclusive people. E pluribus unum, from many one. We want everybody to be an American and we don't care about your color. Watch my fireside chat on colorblind, how it's the only possible moral ideal. That's the American dream. That's the American experiment, and it may fail. There's no guarantee at all that it will survive even in the next 10 years, let alone forever, or let alone for 100 years. The American ideal, that's not to say Americans always live by it. Nobody fully lives by their ideals, but you have to have the ideal. The ideal is that we're all American. That's the ideal. I'm a Jew. I'm as much an American as a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, right? And have been viewed that way. And a black, too. Were blacks always viewed as American as a white? No. Nobody denies that. But for the last half century, basically, it has been true. And that's the ideal. We don't want black dorms. That's the whole point. The left wants black dorms, and then they yell at us for being divisive. Is that mind-blowing? Just cracks me up. You're divisive for wanting blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians to live together. You're the divisive ones. Oh, I get it. Look up the Black Lives Matter. Look it up. I mean, you know, until Google takes it down, look up the what they stand for. Read their own words. The contempt for Judeo-Christian tradition, the contempt for the nuclear family. Being opposed to Black Lives Matter, B, capital L, capital M, does not mean that you don't believe Black Lives Matter any more than being opposed to communists meant that you didn't believe workers matter. The left has always used the group to defend its terrible ideals. And so to make the opposition look like they're against the group, not the ideals. I don't know a soul. I can't even imagine a soul who doesn't think Black Lives Matter. Do such people exist? There are people who think that about every group. Taking individually evil people and their beliefs and applying them to the community, to the whole country, that's evil. Who doesn't think Black Lives Matter? it's like saying the obvious. It's like saying oxygen helps. Everything okay there, Otto? Ooh. Sometimes what I say really provokes a reaction. Otto's thinking, there are people who don't think Black Lives Matter? All right. Chris, 30 years old, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dear Dennis, huge supporter of your radio talk show. Thank you. You should all tune in. 3 hours a day. Everything's okay, Otto. A caller during the male-female hour made a point of how hard it is to date if you're a Trump supporter. Has PragerU ever thought about setting up their own dating site? Also, what are some good dating sites to meet conservative women? Thank you. I haven't been on a dating site in a while, but I do talk to a lot of single people because I want them all married. And this issue comes up. I don't understand why it's that difficult, to be honest. If you're a Trump supporter and you want to meet, or a conservative generally, and you want to meet another Trump supporter or conservative, all you have to do is note in your self-description, I am a conservative. I understand that at least half of you will therefore rule me out. That's fine. That's exactly why I'm putting it here. Because if you hate Donald Trump, I don't think we have similar values. So that's fine. Have a wonderful life, but we don't need to meet. I don't understand what the issue is. If your hobby was gardening, you would probably put that in because you might want somebody who also liked gardening. So why wouldn't you put in as many things about you as possible so as to, in fact, narrow the number of people? You don't want a gigantic number of people responding. You're wasting your time. A lot of young people, how old are you? Let's see. Well, 30. So a lot of people, you know, let's say you're dating 25 and up. So there are a lot of women out there who will share your values. Just state your values. It makes you masculine to state your values. Women like men who stand for something. Just a word to the wise is sufficient. Okay. Oh, so that's why PragerU can't set up a dating site. It would open up such a Pandora's box for us. I don't think we could do that one. All right. What are good dating sites to meet conservative women? Any. Just state who you are. If 2% respond, that's great. That means the 98% who aren't for you didn't respond. That's great. I'll bet you there are conservatives on Tinder. How's that? Didn't think I knew about Tinder, did you? Raymond, 38, Albuquerque. Was the last one Albuquerque, too? Yeah, that's rare. Mm-hmm. two Albuquerques in a row. Ready? A-L-B-U-Q-U-E-R-Q-U-E. Now, I want to tell you why. It's an interesting thing. Why do I know how to spell Albuquerque? I've been there maybe twice in my life, maybe three times. At an early age, back to the early age issue, I just wanted to know as much as I could. So if I would see a name like Albuquerque, I would say, I want to know how to spell it because it will come up again. I want to know the difference between IT apostrophe S and ITS. It seems like half of America, educated in the last 40 years, doesn't know the difference. They guess when they put out ITS. I see it in articles on the Daily Mail where they get it's wrong. I mean, and that's a sophisticated site. Not to mention, you know, I'm not picking on Daily Mail. I'm just saying one that recently occurred. I don't know how this will sound, but I'll risk it. I wanted to be as good a person as I could be. As I wanted, not just good morally, I wanted to be a good speller. I know that sounds trivial, but it's not trivial. Why wouldn't you want to be as good a speller as you could be? The pursuit of excellence is very rare today. Pride in one's work seems to have declined, where so long as you can get away with it and not get fired. The trick is now not to get fired, not to be excellent. Society needs people to want to be excellent. Raymond 38, Albuquerque. Hello, Mr. Prager. Thank you for everything you and your team does to educate people. Your message is hopeful. Good. My question is about Black Lives Matter. At their website, in the What We Believe section, they state a number of positions, including, quote, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. Interesting. Fathers are not mentioned. Isn't that interesting? The notion of disrupting the nuclear family caught my attention. They also claim to, quote, see ourselves as part of the global black family, unquote. Your thoughts, thanks again. Well, yes, the left in general, not just Black Lives Matter, never had a regard for the nuclear family. They had this image of, oh, mother, father, and children. How quaint. That's not the ideal at all. And that's been true for leftism since Marx, that the nuclear family is not regarded highly or the idea that parents should raise their children, they should be raised communally. In Israel, in the beginning of the Jewish community, the modern Jewish community in the Holy Land, as it's called, they tried this on the kibbutz. The kibbutz was actually communist small c. It was voluntary, so it wasn't evil. But everything belonged to everybody. There was no private property. They tried that, and it almost no longer exists. It was a utopian experiment. A lot of great people, by the way, who lived there. But it didn't work. So they started out to liberate women. They had children raised in a communal home. Within one generation, these liberal, progressive parents said, no way, I want my child in my home. They made this experiment. Every generation thinks that the nuclear family is old-fashioned. It's a very interesting thing. Sometimes old-fashioned is a compliment. We make cookies the old-fashioned way. That's a compliment. But we have values the old-fashioned way. That's an insult. I'm not sure we need new values. Okay, I'm sorry. I know this sounds boring to many of you who want to make a revolution. But values have withstood, a lot of good values have withstood the ages, the test of time. One of them is the nuclear family. Nuclear family is sort of like democracy. You know what Churchill said about democracy? It's the worst form of government except for all the others. The nuclear family is the worst form of family except for all the others. That's the way it works. And then what do I think? I didn't know they said this. We see ourselves as part of the global black family. Really? Imagine somebody saying, you know, I see myself as part of the global white family. First of all, I personally would think the person was a crackpot, right? Why is that a crackpot, but global black family is not a crackpot? If you can give me an answer to that, I will buy you a gift. I will. If you can give me a coherent, rational, moral response why someone thinking they're part of the global white family is despicable, but being part of the global black family is beautiful, you will get a gift from me. I will publicize your name. I will honor you. I will put you on my radio show. How one is beautiful and one is despicable and stupid, and I don't understand. So here's a little secret. The average black American has as much in common with the average black in Africa as a white does. Which is not an insult. It is not an attack. It is because color doesn't make you. Culture makes you. Values make you. There would be no reason why a black in Chicago, raised in Chicago, by parents who have been in America longer than most white ancestors have been, is going to go to Africa and have an instantaneous rapport and communal identity with someone in Cameroon. We have a video coming up. I've been to Cameroon in West Africa. We have a video coming up with a woman from Cameroon who moved to America. She feels much more comfortable in America than she did in Cameroon. She's a black woman, which makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't she? You're among people of the same color, and that's your family? Bet you this at Black Lives Matter, they don't think Larry Elder is part of the Big Black family, do they? Ask him. What's our time?
32.
I went over. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a good sign. My feeling is if it goes fast for me and I'm doing the work, then hopefully it's going fast for you who's not doing the work. That's my view. I hope it did go fast for you. Thanks for watching. I'm Dennis Prager. See you next week at the Fireside Chat. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these Fireside Chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.